I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Your Memphis Tigers football team is back in action on Saturday, October 19th against AAC foe Tulane. This is a big game in the race for AAC dominance, and a loud and proud Memphis home crowd is necessary. Single game tickets start at just $20 and are available today at GoTigersGo.com. Come out and see one of the nation's most exciting teams, Memphis versus Tulane on Saturday, October 19th at 6 p.m., sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee.
Stripe up.
Hey Memphis, this is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Home Services, your hometown choice for plumbing, heating, and air. Clogged drains, putting a damper in your day, we'll clear any drain with an accessible cleanout for just $89. We'll even throw in a free camera inspection. Don't let a clogged toilet or a stopped up sink be a pain in the drain. Give us a call today at 624-1401. That's 624-1401.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Data message rates apply. National contest.
Money. It's radio.com cash time. Money. Weekdays at the top of every hour, 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. And right now, we're putting cash in your app.
All right, this hour's code word is SPARK, S-P-A-R-K. You can text the word SPARK, S-P-A-R-K, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. You have up until 12 noon to do it. So this is the 11 o'clock hour code word, and you could be the next $1,000 winner. So text the word SPARK, S-P-A-R-K, to 72881. $1,000 code word is SPARK, S-P-A-R-K. Text it to 72881. Good luck. Next code word is coming your way at 12 noon with Jason and John.
We're brothers, we're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey. Who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, cause now I'm getting hot enough to with one and stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail the mission? Your girl is out of mission, every boy you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table's turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? That got that flame. Who that? That got that flame. Who that? That got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to your Tuesday, October 15th. And you know what, John Martin? You know that little emoji that's got that guy with his hand on his forehead? You can make it black, you can make it yellow, you can make it white when you got the iPhone. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Well, that emoji was me last night as I listened to LeBron James on China and thought about today's segment with Clay Travis.
Well, you know what?
Did he give Clay enough to write a new book?
Yeah. I mean, I think he gave a lot of material.
Oh, boy.
You know, Dan Wolkin over at USA Today called it the most disgraceful moment of LeBron James's career.
Oh, Dan.
And I have never seen something that has united the left and the right quite like LeBron James's comments last night. And just invited universal derision from the left and the right over his comments last night. It's the story in the world right now. It's a story certainly in sports right now. This is one of those very rare moments where sports and politics do and have intersected. So we are going to discuss that here momentarily. We have a big show planned for you
Tuesday.
Today.
Had to be Tuesday, John.
Monday night, I guess, right? It had to be. It couldn't just have just been Tuesday night, could it, Jason? It had to be Monday night in that preseason game.
It falls on
us. I tell you this. I'm glad we're having Tuesday. Clay today. I'm glad we're having Clay today because I actually do think on this particular subject, he is I don't think this is about every subject, but I think on this particular subject, he is right.
Oh, he's right that LeBron had a week to figure out what to say, and you come with this. But I tell you where he's wrong, and Clay, you know, sometimes, most of the time we disagree. Sometimes we agree. So I'll agree with you on the LeBron point, but he's wrong to put Colin Kaepernick up in this. Because, again, I would tell you that LeBron yesterday showed businessman, right?
Yes.
Whitlock's tweeted a little bit.
Yes.
But when it comes down to this or the money, or he even said, you know, financial reasons first. And I know, John, we got to lay out the show and all that. But he showed us yesterday, sort of like Jordan in the Republicans buy sneakers too. He showed us that yesterday, right, John Martin?
Yep.
I mean, we saw it, and there was an opportunity there, right? And listen, he's not alone in this. I think you put in, and we'll see if Clay. Whereas to that point earlier, Kaepernick, you know, he risked something at least. Whether you agree with his stance or not, he put something at risk. LeBron here is toeing the company line. Kaepernick put his career in jeopardy, and now doesn't have one as a result of it. Anyway, so I've seen the little cartoons that have got Kaepernick and LeBron all in the same thing, right? Like standing up for the Chinese anthem, right? And kneeling for the don't put Kaepernick in this because at least he stood for something on this.
No, I agree with that.
LeBron's standing for the dollar sign, but he's not alone. The entire NBA has too. So don't just put LeBron. Yes, he put the comments on it yesterday, but I mean Kerr, Pop, all of them in their silence too. As far as I'm concerned. The entire NBA is complicit in this.
Yeah, so we will get into that here in just a moment. Here's what we have going on the show today. At 11:25, we're going to talk to Seth Greenberg, college basketball analyst for ESPN. We will talk to him about what he thinks about Memphis, the AAC, preseason picks. I believe he's at Maryland practice, so we will talk to him. I don't know how much we'll talk to him about Maryland, obviously, but we'll mostly focus on Memphis and what he thinks sort of and what he heard, you know, obviously over the last couple of weeks about Pro Day and going forward and the challenges that face Penny.
I got an important question for him. I want to know from Seth Greenberg, when does he know a guy can coach? Is it when he walks into a gym the first day and he watches a few of the drills he does and watches how a guy leads young men? Or is it after a guy has proven that he can lead a team to an NCAA tournament, a Sweet 16? So is it resume or do coaches, right, guys who've done it, does game recognize game? When you walk into a room, right, do you know? And when will we know? I'll ask him that on Penny Hardaway.
Yeah, so we will talk to Seth Greenberg at 11:25. 12:25, Clay Travis will join us. We'll talk to him about this LeBron James story, maybe a little bit of Titans with him at 12:25. And then around 1:25 or so, we're going to be joined by University of Memphis AD Laird Veach. He's been on the job for a couple weeks now. Sure. We'll talk to him, obviously, about the controversial call, what he thought about the AAC response. I know you got some other stuff you want to get to him with, so we will talk about all of that with Laird Veach at 1:25. Lions got screwed last night.
Oh man,
hard to be a Lions fan.
Must be tough. I think about my old friend Marlon Morgan, former writer down at the Commercial Appeal. Mm-hmm. John, I don't know if you knew this about him. He's a long-suffering Detroit Lions fan.
Well, long-suffering and Detroit Lions fan, I mean, that's the same thing.
You just write another chapter in the book last night.
That's right.
And a lot of times it's at the hands of Aaron Rodgers, who got them that one time with the old Hail Mary. Remember that one?
Oh, man, that was brutal.
I mean, the poor Lions. And those calls were awful.
Yes, they got screwed last night. You know, a lot of that going on, man.
I know something about
a lot of that going on in football.
Being down as a sports fan. My Chicago Bears just lost to the sorry Raiders over in London Town, as you know. And we have a man back today, as a matter of fact, who, when he left us last week, he left with all the hope and dreams of a possible baseball championship, John, a Major League Baseball title. He left that because it was 0-0, if you remember. They had just advanced. And he comes back to us today, Brad Carson does, a man that's down 0-3. Brad, I welcome you back.
Thank you for the applause. Appreciate that.
Looks like you had a good weekend getting away from baseball is what it looked like.
Yeah, I tried to avoid watching it,
I could tell. That's what happens, John, when you get down 0-3. You just tune it out.
Absolutely.
And it looked like Brad was doing a very good job of that.
No, congratulations, man.
Had some good family time, Brad.
I did.
Certainly not Cardinal time.
I did see a winner. I went to a random SEC football game in Nashville, Tennessee, to see the Running Rebels destroy the Vanderbilt Commodores on Saturday.
Oh, so you did get to see a little victory there.
Yeah, so I saw one winner, but man, it was ugly. The Cardinals can't win a damn baseball game now. They can't hit.
Couldn't hit first six innings, first two games, right?
Yeah, but I'm glad you brought that
up.
Nah,
look, it was a dream season, wasn't it? It was a great second half, and you can cherish that
forever. I'm glad they're there.
You can cherish it forever.
It's like I told you on text last night, you know, just bring back John Fogerty, run it back.
Run it back.
See how the misery transferred? Mm-hmm. Remember what my fantasy team and my Bears last week and the misery over here. Mm-hmm. Misery. My wife says I don't smile since I have stopped smoking. So life was rough, but we've just transferred. We've transferred some of that energy now over to Brad. Brad, I'm not reveling
well,
in the Cardinals
losing.
They have
some of the greatest pitching in baseball,
season.
Like I said, with Paul Cartwright and John Fogerty.
Cartwright's a great player.
They'll be right back, right?
Yeah, I mean, as long
John
as you can bring
Fogerty.
He's the stud, the young stud they have. Right?
I will say, in the 3 days I was gone, the Memphis screw job, and I'm not just saying this pandering to y'all, that was the one that hurt me the most, because it's like all that play took the game. It ripped it from them. And I listened to you yesterday talking about it. It was
hurt me was when Schroff said he thought he saw it.
Yeah, you felt betrayed by Anish. Well, you'll have to deal with him again this weekend. Mm-hmm. I hate to tell you. Anyway, we have gone on long enough without mentioning the real news of the day, which is what LeBron James said last night. There was a preseason game inside the Staples Centers. Mm-hmm. It was Lakers, Warriors, and LeBron James was obviously asked. He was asked about China. I don't know what's worse. I don't know what's worse, according to LeBron James, being a Lions fan or to be an NBA player who just had the misfortune of having to play a preseason game in China. This was LeBron James last night on the situation in China.
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times, there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke, and so many people could have been harmed, not only financially but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do. Even though yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that too.
And I recognize, too, that this is such a complicated and nuanced issue, and neither of us, you know, is or was a history major in college. We were both journalism majors. But I think LeBron has it backwards. Mm-hmm. I think LeBron has it totally backwards.
What's he got backwards, John?
Daryl Morey, by definition, was not just thinking about himself. When Daryl Morey sends that tweet out about, you know, the Hong Kong protests and basically advocating for democracy in Hong Kong, he is thinking about an entire group of people, right, who are oppressed and who are being shot in the eye, you know, by police and officials over there. LeBron James is the one who is thinking about himself. Because when I hear LeBron James say those words, I hear cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And Daryl Morey, to me, he effectively said Daryl Morey was trying to mess with my pockets. And he almost succeeded. So he better not do that again, or else, you know, there's going to be hell to pay. That's what I hear when LeBron James. I mean, the idea that he would even have the audacity to use the word at all financially, like to even use that word in context with this particular issue. Most disgraceful moment of a career. I don't know. I mean, I didn't write that column. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but it was a black eye for a man who has, right, in the last several years, really sort of made an out of basketball career of saying he's more than an athlete. He was not more than an athlete in that moment last night. He was just an athlete in that moment last night.
I think this was telling, so it's probably worth getting through these facts before I weigh in on that side of it. But he clearly, after getting a reaction, right, to the press scrum, clearly felt he needed to say more. And you can call it walking it back, or you can call it specifying what he meant. But let's get that in too, because he tweeted later on, "Let me clear up the confusion. I do not believe there was any consideration for the consequences and ramifications of the tweet." Speaking of Morey's tweet, "I'm not discussing the substance. Others can talk about that." He left that for others to talk about. "My team in this league just went through a difficult week. I think people need to understand what a tweet or statement can do to others, and I believe nobody stopped and considered what would happen. Could have waited a week to send it. So basically he's saying, all right, if Maury can tweet about – he's trying to walk this back, right? Mm-hmm. He knows it got accepted. He knows the way it was accepted was pretty much met unanimously with a mouth drop. There's no question about it. And John, you said it specifically. It's the word financially. When you say so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, use that first.
Yes.
Right? So, and to your point, John, whether he's talking about himself right there in his own pockets, and I'm sure he's got his own interest, right, yep, with Space Jam and everything else, or he's talking about the league's pockets, he sounded like an assistant commissioner right there.
Yep.
He sounded like a guy who's fully in line with Adam Silver right there that's saying, you guys, you know, Maury, in putting this out there, put the entire NBA in jeopardy. We've got deals with China. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
So you can look at it, too, that he's speaking for the entire NBA. He sounded like an assistant commissioner. Sounded like the commissioner. The point is, This is what I have a hard time with. You had a week, almost a week after watching James Harden get walked out there as what looked like an Adam Silver or whoever in the NBA said, please, China's going crazy on us right now. Can you just go out there and say you love the Chinese people? Forget why you're saying it,
no
or
doubt
what Maury's tweet was about. We just need you to go calm things down, so please go walk out there. LeBron had a week, more than that, to figure out how not to look like that, right?
Absolutely.
To get informed, and he calls Daryl Morey uninformed, misinformed.
That was the worst
part. Brother, and that's the thing about it, man. Yeah. I don't want it because this ain't just about LeBron. It's about Pop. It's about Kerr. Everybody that ain't saying nothing now. LeBron just came out and put his own stamp on it last night by saying what he did.
And he's the face of the NBA.
But they are all in this together.
Yes, John, I agree with that.
They are absolutely
all. The NBA looks awful throughout all of this.
Yeah.
And LeBron being the face of the league, saying what he said last night, punctuated.
You had a week, more than that, to get informed.
No doubt about it.
Right, and certainly be able to come out with a statement that said that at least – look at it from a politician side. Could play both sides, right?
No question.
Could say, you know what we love in this democracy, and we think that's the right way for the world.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, that's what we believe in. I mean, freedom of speech is important.
It affords you the ability to play the game for the money that you make in the game.
No question about it. It's why you guys want to listen to what I believe on this issue. We've
Absolutely.
All got freedom
yeah.
of speech. We can
Absolutely.
Say how we feel. You understand what I'm saying? And there's the opportunity to say that. Right, and still say, but there's a lot of layers to this.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm
exactly.
saying? There's a lot of layers. There's an opportunity to have a week, John, to prepare something that sounds like you've been paying attention, and yet he calls Maury uninformed. Again, I'm not just coming down on LeBron because you've made this bed by coming out looking uninformed like you were yesterday, speaking, I guess, on behalf of the league. But, John, now you've made this – you've given people, the Clay Travis of the world, the ammo to use against you when you want to compare yourself to Ali.
Yeah.
Well, now this looks like you don't risk nothing unpopular.
And it's not just the Clay Travis of
when
the world
it's about
anymore.
Now you got everybody piling on.
I mean, there is nobody to me who can watch those comments. Like, if you are an American, right, there is nobody who can watch those comments and defend him in any way.
So even if you want to say, well, he walked it back. He's not just talking about democracy and all that. He's talking about when Maury sent the tweet. Well, he says that he's not going to discuss the issue, right?
Yes.
He's not going to discuss. That's going back to Pop and Kerr.
Exactly.
It's the same. It's not as bad because you don't sound as silly.
No doubt.
Because you're not talking like yesterday, but it's just as you're towing that company line that's more important right now than what, John? Than democracy, than doing things the right way. Now, listen. Some people will come back with this. Well, why are we going to be worried about what's going on in China, right, when we've got our own issues around here? And that's where I go back to, how in the world are y'all going to pile Kaepernick into this? That's where I got to ask Clay, because you're seeing the pictures now where Kaepernick, LeBron, you know, I guess you're going to put Steve and Pop in there too,
are
saluting for China, but they're kneeling for Cap, right? When again, what he believed was right, whether you do or not, and the merits of it and all that, he stood for something that was unpopular, wasn't it? He put his career in jeopardy by standing for it. He doesn't have one now,
right?
You can go back and forth, the settlement, all that. He's been paid, but his career, he can't get back in the league. All that was put in jeopardy. LeBron, to this point, John, it reeks of, and Jordan allegedly said Republicans buy sneakers too, right? You can't get down to the press conference where he said,
right,
but allegedly we all believe it to be fact. It's sort of in an opportunity, right, where you had so much more to gain, right? Not in dollars, but in right.
Yes.
Right? It'd be unpopular with the NBA standards, with China and all that. But there would have been so much more to gain by saying the right thing there. I felt like he blew it last night with obviously ample time to prepare.
You know,
I can't put this all at his feet, though. It's at the feet of the NBA.
Everything that you just laid out is really, I think that's the way you have to feel on this, is you have it. You are LeBron James. You are worth friggin' $1 billion or whatever it is, right? You know, you're worth $450 million. You could at least have a team of advisors that said, hey, LeBron, you are going to be asked about this. And if you're going to choose the route where you address it, we need to make sure that we are on the same accord.
He's a smart dude with smart people around him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you put yourself in that situation.
And if you don't want to weigh in on the substance of the issue, which is what you said on Twitter, well, then there are ways to do that way more effectively than basically doing what you did last night, which is saying, I choose the money. I choose the money over morality. I choose the money over constitutional things.
Right.
I choose the money because I'm LeBron James. And again, nobody's going to we're in America. How can we fault anybody for being a capitalist? But there are ways that you can go about it that are not just insulting. First of all, to the empire that you've tried to tell us you're building. Outside, you know, you have the shop, right, where you discuss all the issues going on in America.
Right.
You know,
uninterrupted.
You're not afraid, and I'm not saying you should be afraid, but you're not afraid to weigh in on politics in America. But yet, when it comes
he's done that so far, maybe in a couple. But when it's been popular,
exactly,
when it wasn't going to cost him, right, the bottom line when it comes to those things. And again,
but it's only unpopular to say you advocate for democracy. It's only unpopular in China.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's easier for us to say this that aren't tied into the millions, right? Where we don't have the million-dollar checks coming in, so it's easier for us because we don't have these worldly problems. But again, you know, democracy and something we know. I mean, the reason we're able to live free, that we live in this country, right? We know that's the right way because we tell other countries this is the way you should be doing it. And so to sit down and be silent about that, right? About that right. So that we can continue to bring in this money from, I just think it goes against everything we're supposed to represent.
Yeah.
You know, everything that flag represents. And again, LeBron has put his face on this by saying what he did yesterday, but this is an NBA thing. This isn't everybody sitting down for that dollar thing. You understand what I'm saying? I realize it goes to great, but maybe, John, the lesson here is we continue to look to these guys, right, to be our leaders, to say the right things when it comes to forget sports and dunk and the basketball, when it comes to being our moral, John, societal, all of it, our leaders, and maybe we should stop with that. Because when it all comes down to it, LeBron showed us yesterday, and again, you could blame him or not blame him. I guess we'd only blame him if we were expecting more.
Yeah.
But if we know that what he showed is that he was company man yesterday. There's no question about it. Muhammad Ali put his entire career at risk, right? Ends up getting, I mean, in the middle of his greatness, right? Ends up going to jail for what his religious belief. He's I'm not going over there to fight that war.
Yep.
At the time, he's ostracized.
Yep.
People killed him for it.
Yep.
And now we absolutely celebrate him for it. He risked something when it was completely unpopular.
Yep.
Right? Ostracized.
Yep.
I'm still waiting on LeBron to do that. The opportunity was there yesterday. I'm not going to hold it against him forever, John, because, again, you're only disappointed if you expected more from him. Maybe we should just expect him to be the businessman.
Well, he has asked us to expect more from him, has he not? I mean, the whole more than an athlete shtick, is that not him asking us to expect more of him?
It's easy to do when you're standing up, when you're telling yourself, I'm doing the right thing,
yeah,
when it's popular and people are cheering you on.
Absolutely.
What isn't as easy, right, is when it's the right thing and it might affect your check.
Yeah.
Right? Or it might affect where you work.
Yeah.
You know, Kaepernick didn't care. That's why I go against trying to group him into this.
Yeah.
Again, we can go back and forth on whether or not you believed in what Kaepernick was kneeling for or not. That's not the point today. The point is that he's kneeling for what he believed in. That's what this country's about.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And he risked something for it. My point, I'm still waiting. I was hoping that moment was going to come yesterday from LeBron James. I really was.
Yeah.
I said that to Clay Travis last week.
Yeah.
When I said, when they talk to him, man, I pray he's going to say something. But he didn't. And again, the only disappointment would be if I expected more. He showed us he's a businessman. Now, again, to your point, you'd say that's contradictory. You want to be more, right? Step up, and it can't just be, I'll give you that.
It was
because,
again,
the opportunity was there last night not to just be about the dollar, not to just be the company man, to really gain something in a worldly sense.
It was a letdown.
And he passed on it.
It was a letdown for sure. All right, we may get back
into
this.
So have Kerr, and so has Pop.
Agreed.
And so has the entire NBA.
And Adam Silver.
Adam Silver,
everybody.
All the way.
I mean, the NBA looks absolutely awful.
It ain't just LeBron James. The entire NBA is in on this.
The NBA chose money over the right thing.
Correct.
You know, so, I mean, we should say that as well. The NBA
that's what I'm saying. This ain't
chose
just one
capitalism,
man here. That's
you know,
what I'm saying.
Over democracy. So let that be shown.
Absolutely.
And let that be said. All right, we will come back. Seth Greenberg's going to join us. We will talk to him about college basketball, right? Memphis Tiger basketball and more. That's up next. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Radio.com Cash is coming up at 12 noon. Get the code and you could win $1,000 from 92.9 FM ESPN.
I went to Triumph Bank the other day to set up an account. Met with a banker named Holly Bronson. And here's what Bronson told me. The first thing you need to do is put my number in your cell phone. I can't help you if you don't call me. Yes, she really said that. Are you as stunned as I was? But that's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, because of people like Holly Bronson. She'd worked at other banks before Triumph, of course. Given the way that banks are gobbled up by bigger banks these days, she'd actually worked at 5 different banks. But those banks didn't deliver the kind of service that Bronson wanted to give her customers. So Bronson made the switch. And here's the thing. Nearly all of her customers made the switch with Bronson because they understood what a difference personal service can make. Bronson insists she's nothing special, of course. She rattled off the names of a whole bunch of bankers at Triumph who take their jobs and service as seriously as she does. But I can tell you it's the first time a banker ever gave me her cell phone number. Triumph is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Yeah. Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, his name is Seth Greenberg. He's a college basketball analyst for ESPN, and he joins us now. Seth, what's going on?
Life is good. Just running around, watching some practices, getting ready for SEC Media Day tomorrow. We got Maryland today. Got Kentucky's Pro Day. Life is good.
Yeah. So who
excellent.
Who have you seen so far, practice wise, Seth?
I've seen Virginia, VCU, North Carolina, NC State. I'll be at Maryland today. George Washington, Seton Hall. Well, some smaller schools, Norfolk State, so I'd help them with their fundraiser. I've got Xavier on Thursday, Kentucky, back to Kentucky for their blue-white game on Friday. So running around, just kind of, you know, getting a chance to see a bunch of people and getting a feel for players and talking to a lot of coaches, basically.
Do you still, obviously, you know, you were a very successful coach, but do you find yourself, as you're sort of making the practice tour, still learning things about the game?
You know, what you do is you're looking at what you did, and you're comparing it to what people are doing today. Mm-hmm. The game has changed some a little bit in terms of the rules. Defensively, you've got to change because of freedom of movement, and it's officiated more stringently. You know, the shorting of the clock on an offensive rebound will impact things. More people are downing ball screens right now. They're obviously moving the line back will be different. So, you know, you're looking and seeing what people are doing with the new rules. But in the end, you know what it comes down to? You take care of the basketball. You get a good shot. You know, you force a contested shot. And you limit people to one shot. You got a pretty good chance of winning. And, you know, it really comes down to those four things.
How intrigued are you, Coach, by what you see at Memphis? And so what are you expecting? Do you expect this to be a Memphis team with all this youth that can still win the AAC? You still give Houston the nod? Like, what are you sort of expecting from this talented but certainly young Memphis team?
I'm expecting a lot. I think Penny's expecting a lot, and he's with them every single day. And he's smart enough to know that, yeah, obviously he needs to talk about his team because of recruiting, but he also needs to be realistic. Now, look, there's going to be roadblocks and detours and bumps in the road and potholes, but I'm expecting them to be really good. They've got really good players, and I've said this about Penny. I've said this about Pat Ewing. I've said this about Juwan Howard, even though he hasn't coached a game yet. See, those are three guys. There are two different types of former players that get into coaching. Guys that want to get into it for the money. Obviously, Penny Hardaway doesn't need any money. Or someone that gets into it because they love the game and they love to be around the game. And that, you know, when you're coaching AAU basketball, grassroots, when you're coaching high school basketball, you're doing it for the right reasons. Juwan Howard worked for, you know, Pat Riley for how many years? I mean, that's dog years when you work with Riley. So, I mean, like, you know, he loves the game. Pat Ewing worked for the Van Gundys. So, look, I mean, they've got something really special going on. The new practice facility was built. There's a lot of energy, but they've got good pieces. It's going to come down to point guard play and taking care of the ball and shot selection. I mean, that's, you know, really when you have that many pieces. And it's going to come down to, you know, ego. I mean, they're playing at a very fast pace. You know, because of the fast pace, you know, quite honestly, shot selection will have to be, they'll have to be, keep an eye on it, let's put it that way, because when you're playing up and down, sometimes you forget your bigs, unless your bigs are involved in the break. And then, you know, egos. I mean, they got dudes. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and it's not just James. I think the point guard, you know, Damian Bott to me is the most important player because I look at him as more of a guy, a facilitator, than, say, a Tyler Harris who's got a, you know, who's a volume shooter. They got to shoot a better percentage from the three and probably don't have to shoot as many threes.
What is the most effective way? I've often wondered this, and I'm with you. I think his greatest challenge, that staff's greatest challenge, right, is taking all this talent and all those egos and getting them all to buy in. What's the most effective way to control egos? Seth, is it to make a star player run and the rest of the guys see it? Is it to have a long resume and you've been to a bunch of Final Fours so they respect you the moment you come in the door? What do you do with a team this young in terms of that?
Well, first of all, there are buyers and sellers, uh-huh. right? There's demand of college basketball. You know, you're playing for Izzo, you're playing for Cal, you're playing for K, and right now, probably if you're paying for Penny, you're buying everything.
Then you know, right?
And that's just the way it is. But you'll still have egos because you can get the player to buy in. It's whether you can get the posse to buy in. Mm-hmm. If you can get the static, like you got to control the static in the locker room. I think they'll be fine. It's when you know, after a bad loss or in a game where maybe someone doesn't think they get shots. And then, like, you know, Cal's done it the best. I mean, think about it. They had the first and second pick in the draft that one year, and those guys, you know, were like the fourth and fifth leading scorers on the team.
Yep.
You know, so, I think that, you know, look, not a lot of dudes coaching right now that have their own shoe.
Right.
He's got clout. He's, you know, Mike Miller was played in the league. And
mm-hmm.
Mike Miller was recruited just like these dudes were recruited. People forget now.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Miller was not a good high school player. He was a great high school player. And, I talked to Jay Belsky up there. He was over there practice and said that he was really impressed with Mike's teaching. So, I mean, look, they've got everything going good. I mean, you know, the biggest thing is make sure the kids stay out of trouble and make sure that they play hard. You know, I have this thing, everything earned, nothing given. Once that ball goes up in the air for a real game, you know, your rating means nothing. You know, what are people talking about you means nothing because those same people that are telling you you're not good, if you, you know, when they turn around and tell you you are good, they were the same person. And then the same person that's telling you you're really good, if you lose to a game maybe you're not supposed to win, they're going to bring up 8,000 things that are, you know, not right.
Right.
So you've got to put the thing in perspective. But, look, he's done it before. The microscope they're going to be under is going to be interesting. And then playing all those bigs together is going to be interesting.
You know, obviously, so I know you guys have seen it and probably discussed it as well, but Penny has – he is totally different, and I think that extends into sort of just the things he says, right, as a coach. He has said publicly, you know, hey, I look at this team, and I think national championship. What do you think the merits of that are? I mean, is it one of those things where, you know, listen, you're already going to have a target on your back anyway because of sort of what's already happened, his spat with Rick Barnes and other things like that? What do you think of sort of his willingness to openly discuss national championship? You just don't see that often.
Yeah, well, you know, he understands he's going to leave half of this team, lose half of this team. So, I mean, if you lose half of this team, you got to replace him. And, you know, you're basically painting a picture before they even play a game. They're trying to get commitments. And so what are you doing? We're playing for national championships here. I look at this team. I'm not going to use the excuse that we have freshman heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play my freshman, and we're ready to go. It's the only conversation. I mean, look, he's not the only guy. It's not like last year Coach K didn't think that they were they were going to be a championship team. And you know the thing with Rick, you know that look, Tennessee and Memphis, Virginia Tech, Duke, North Carolina. you know, stuff happens in rivalries. And, you know, a lot of times things are said, things are taken out of context, things are blown up by, you know, the media. You know, people get the hair on the back of their neck ruffled, and then it just passes. It passes. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Rick Barnes is building his program differently than Penny. They probably won't even run into each other in recruiting.
Right. Well,
You know, so, I mean, it's – I don't think it's a big, you know – I mean, yeah. I mean, look, Petty. Think about what he's been able to accomplish. I mean, he's not intimidated by the stage
right.
of college basketball. That's for sure. I mean, let's face it. I mean, think about, but the guy's not everything. So, I think he's going to be brash. He's going to be aggressive and not back to anything. Because think about the guys he played against when he played. I mean, like, the game was different back then. The league was different back then. You went in the lane, you got smacked. I mean, so, he's playing against Lambeer and those guys. I mean, whoever he was playing against them, you think he's going to worry about college basketball? And he's doing it on his terms in his city.
No, there's no doubt. And it's playing well for sure. Hey, Seth, I wanted to ask you, it sounds like Invalidante is not going to be ineligible for the start of the year for Oregon because the NCAA, according to reports, missed his clearance date. How much of a blow? I think people in Memphis were certainly looking forward to the Invalidante-James Wiseman matchup early in the year. We're not going to get that. But how much of a blow is that to Oregon?
It's a blow at the beginning of the season. The season's a marathon. It's not a sprint. They're going to miss – some games, and the weird thing about that is, Oregon starts. They're in the quarter system, so they start later anyway. It's disappointing because that obviously that was going to be a big time, matchup per se. But they're going to be other matchups. It's a step back. It's funny because I was breaking down Oregon today before I came over to this practice, and Oregon's got pieces, but they're going to be young. I mean. You look at the team. You got Pritchard back, obviously, who's really good. The Carr kid's probably not ready. Victor Bailey, can shoot threes. I mean, they've got pieces. C.J. Walker's really, really athletic. The kid that from Vegas will have to, do some things, and he averaged almost a double double. So, yeah, it's going to be a matchup people will be disappointed in. But you're talking about two brand new teams. Oregon's pretty much a brand new team, but they got a veteran point guard. The biggest thing is, the pressure and the length and the athleticism of a Memphis team, will that be able to speed up and distort and get Pritchard out of the system? It's one game. I mean, we want to hype it up. It's not the Champions Classic.
Sure.
It would have been a really, really good game. I think Jay Billis has that game because we're in Alaska together, and then he's flying to, I think, Portland, and I'm flying. I don't know where I'm flying yet, but flying somewhere. So, look, it's disappointing, but it's a long season. There's gonna be a lot of good games, and they're gonna have it. They'll be a fun team, and I'm hoping they win because if they win, we'll probably end up with a game day in Memphis, and I'll get a good meal at night.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice.
I gotta ask you, Coach. You said you talked to Billis, who was here, a couple of your colleagues. He liked the teaching that Mike was doing. Did he like the look of the roster? Was he excited about it? He said, "No, they're not gonna go anywhere." What else did he tell us that you could say?
No, he was impressed. He was impressed with everything.
Okay.
He was impressed with the whole operation. He was impressed with the players and the kids. And look, they've got good players now.
Absolutely.
The one thing it changes is and it might be a seamless transition, but what I found out, I don't care how good you are, there are going to be roadblocks and detours, and especially they got a tough non-conference and. It's going to be, when you hit those roadblocks and detours and potholes, just, take a deep breath. The old saying, adversity visits the strong, it lives with the weak. I mean, that's kind of how they're going to have to approach this thing. And I think they'll be able to do that. But the league will be better. I think Houston, it'll be different. Houston, I think, still will be very good. It'll be interesting if they get Quentin Grimes back. I think Wichita State will be a little bit better. Cincinnati will take a step back. South Florida's got some players that, they got defensive player of the year and Lil Guard, and they got the Collins kid, and they got the big time rebounder. But it's going to be it's going to be an exciting time, and it'll be interesting to see how it materializes.
Hey Seth, we know you're really busy, man.
Thank
we
you,
appreciate
sir.
The time as always.
My pleasure, guys. Look forward to seeing you.
Yes, sir. He is Seth Greenberg, college basketball analyst for ESPN. Always do appreciate his time. Glad to hear that, obviously, you know, Jay Bill has had nice things to say.
I mean, it almost sounds like a little Seth, and he's almost a believer, a convert.
Almost.
You know, I don't know how much he believed early on when Penny was first hired.
Yeah.
But you hear him now, and with using Billis as the sort of spy over there, sounds like he likes what he hears.
Yeah, no.
Like he's on board and said, see you soon. I think we'll be seeing so he'll have, he knows.
Yeah.
There's too much talent in there, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It'll be hard to mess this up, whether you think Penny can coach or not. I think that's what you end up coming to the realization of that when you're one of these national guys.
Yeah. Must have been a little awkward, though, for Jay Billis, though. I mean, like, seriously, because when Memphis fired Tubby, everybody knew what they were doing it for. Everybody knew they were firing Tubby Smith to hire Penny Hardaway, and I believe the word that Jay Billis used was embarrassing. And yet here he is a year later.
But who's going to make Jay feel awkward about that unless it's Penny Hardaway right there walking through whatever the yard or whatever they were doing out there?
Gotta feel,
no, to your point, though.
You know, like,
I'm sure Billis has done that before, though, right? Has been totally off and then come back and get back in with the crew. It's who calls him out on it.
Right.
That's going to make him feel awkward.
It would be like me going down to Florida State to profile Leonard Hamilton. You know, it would just feel a little weird.
I mean, were there a bunch of us giving it to him when he was here? Or aren't we appreciative that Billis has sort of turned? Are we fickle in the way that we'll kill him when he's criticized, but you come here and we're back on, oh, thanks, Jay Billis, for coming.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
it's, really
is
just,
that,
it's not Jay Billis, on the point. It's ESPN. Like, it could be him, it could be anybody.
Well, so he represents him in that
sense.
Is that some of us, though, that sometimes,
I think so.
I mean, some of these guys will say something, and then the moment they give him any praise, we're right back to, you know, fans of them again.
Dude, it's like somebody can send you a tweet and say, I hate you, Jason, you're an idiot, and you don't ever make sense. But then when they see you in person, like, man, I love your show, can I get a picture? You know, I mean, like, that's just like anything else. Like, you see that all the time. But, no, I don't forgive Jay Billis. I don't forgive Jay Billis. I don't care how good the piece
is. Because Penny Hardaway has, apparently.
I mean,
Penny doesn't hold it. He's not to the point that he's not going to let him come and get that shine for his program.
Okay, but if you get on the bandwagon, you get on the back.
You allow yourself
AC.
To be so personally offended that you're going to allow it not to, you know, to lessen some of the shine on your program? No.
Right.
That we said when Penny got this job, he had to put the ego down, right, on the grassroots stuff, right? If you're going to recruit this thing and be as thorough as you can be, right you got to be the head coach at Memphis and sort of and John, has he not taken the ego out like we said? Okay,
if you do
it this way.
I think so. Now let me ask you this.
Now he's got team Thad.
Where do you draw the line? Okay, so you're saying that Memphis would accept Jay Billis since he's coming back and saying nice things, but would they do that for Dan Dockage? Are you just willing to accept Dan Dockage?
You can't be so personally offended, right, that you do what I don't think in this case it's damage, but again, I'd go back to the word shine. That you take some of the potential shine off your program. You tell Jay Billis he can't come and do that special.
Well, I know Memphis is never going to do that.
And we know Penny's all about the shine.
I know Memphis is never going to say, no, you can't do that.
So
I'm just saying.
Let me get to the point. That's Jay Billis, who's one of the faces of college basketball, you know, in terms of analyst. He's right there at the top and very respected.
Right.
He's the guy that's always tearing in the NCAA. We always say Jay Billis is usually right. Dan Dockett's a different sort of face in the sense that he's more heel. Is there the same value in Dan Dockage coming to do a special on you?
But
probably
it's still
not.
ESPN,
so maybe
though.
You can hold it against
it's
him.
Still, like Jeff Goodman is kind of a, like, he kind
the
of.
The point is, you're still going to take that attention. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Because, again, you're not going to let those personal feelings get in the way of the advancement of your program.
I'm mostly talking about, like, Memphis fans. Like, I know Memphis is an administration. They shouldn't do that. Like, you need all that. You need the attention. You need the TV time. I get that. I'm just saying Memphis fans in terms of, oh, we love Jay Billis.
Well, that's what
Dan
I was talking
Duggan.
About. Aren't we a little fickle in how we do that?
I don't think we're that fickle. I don't think we are. I don't think now. Maybe there are some people who are. For sure. I don't think I don't forget. God forgives, I don't.
If Jay Billis came up in here right now, you'd be all over him talking about you are tall.
You are taller than
I thought. And when I see you in person, you are very tall.
First of all, you know how I feel about white people that went to Duke.
Time.
You know how I feel about white
people. Oh, please.
You know how I feel about that.
You keep laying this down like it's some sort of disdain for them when we know it. You got nothing but love. Sane tells us every Wednesday. Well, you're just waiting to let it out. I don't know why.
It's not true. You will never hear me come on this.
Why do you
have
so much disdain for your own people?
Because we are not the same. We are not the same.
Because when they come out of Duke, they get too uppity for you?
It's a different deal, man. It's a
different. What a weird deal to feel that way about your own people.
No.
Like, that's a. We don't do that.
No, every group of white people, not the same. There's a class system, man.
Y'all support each other. What are you talking about? When we're not around, you give each other a loan. You don't even have to apply for the loan. You just pull out the money. You get everything you want.
That was an Eddie
Murphy
skit.
You go to the grocery store. You get everything. All y'all help each other. What are you talking about? This stuff, this disdain for other people of your race is new.
No.
White people help white people.
No.
Especially when black people aren't around.
Because when I think of – I'm just going to be honest. When I think of people who go to Duke, like players who go to Duke, it's Silver Spoon. That's what I feel like. That's how I view them.
Do you find this hate for his own people? Do you find this?
I can feel him on the they are different. Like a UNLV dude way different than a Duke
Ivy League's
dude.
He looks down on you.
Yeah, like it's a different type of vibe. Yeah, I will say with the Billis, not to interrupt the point, but on Billis, I have had to separate myself with those two sides. One is he's bashing Memphis saying that is uncool how
he
you
did
treated
when Tubby.
Tubby.
Left, yep.
All right, that's box number one. So dude has to still report and do what he's got to do, much like we do sometimes. And then he steps past that. And he goes, okay, now I got to go do a story on Penny running this program.
Right, but I would also say, too, at some point, though, if you're going to weigh in, he said Memphis should be embarrassed. Like, if you're going to weigh in and say that, then it's probably high time for you to update your opinion if it's changed.
It sounds like he's on his way to that. I don't know if he'll ever admit it. He's on his way to figuring that out. I don't know if he'll admit
the
it.
Words.
That's a different thing.
You want the words.
The intellectual honesty, right? Like, the intellectual.
I follow you.
You know, I don't think you should just be able to just say anything you want, and then you just get to do whatever you want after that,
right.
And there'd be like, no. I'm not saying he needs to be in prison or anything like that, but, I mean, I do think we should hold media to some standard there. Like, if you're just going to throw out, Memphis should be embarrassed. It's a three-ring circus. What are they doing over there when they fire Tubby Smith, you know, and you're going to come do a puff piece on the – like, it just looks intellectually dishonest, does it not?
Yeah.
I mean, I can
recall an instance in our first year. This is not to single you out, but when there was something you called Russell Westbrook very early on in our first couple of months, and I said, John, you can't do that because, again, at some point you might have to interview that man, right?
Yes.
And so the idea that you'd be in his face asking him, hey, about the game when you called him that word, right, was kind of going to your point. It's kind of
that was obviously, and that was why I was saying you don't do that,
even though he's not in the room right now. Because you might, in a professional setting, have to interview that man. I'm imagining have much more respect for him in his face.
Again, like
that's not to single you out because I'm guilty of that too. Right, thinking that that guy's never going to be around and I can say whatever I want to. But it goes to the point that you were making, I think.
I was never going to be around Russell Westbrook, and I certainly was never going to be strolling down, Beale Street, walking.
But to the idea
with Russell on
Jay
TV.
Bill is dumb. We're never going to be around, right? So, you could apply the same logic there, is what I'm saying.
Look, just get ready for the puff piece. I know you're going to love it. You're going to DVR it. You're going to share it on Facebook.
What puff piece?
Yeah.
I ain't sharing it.
You can't wait.
What are you talking about? I'm arguing that side of it. It's not necessarily – I haven't told you that's how I feel.
Look, all I'm saying is that if you are willing to sort of shoot from the hip about the situation,
I like the wall back.
Then you should say,
you know what?
Hey,
I've seen
I was
it.
Wrong. I was wrong about the situation.
Oh, I would love to hear from Billis. Look, I've come over here and seen this program they've got over here.
Right.
I've watched Penny Hardaway coach this talent. I've watched Mike Miller and Tony Matlock coach this talent.
Right.
And I have after looking at this thing and getting underneath the covers, like I like to say, I have a different understanding of what was going on around here.
And if
because
that happens,
now
then
they've
I'm fine.
Got the pulse.
I'm cool.
I would love to hear that from Billis, but you rarely hear that admission. They just kind of get to
that's
it.
Just poor
They'll
form.
Tell you that behind the scenes.
That's Duke. That's poor form to me, you know? Like, if I was doing...
Oh, guys rarely hold themselves to that standard. Like, I got to come back and say it now. Because you say so much.
The only reason
because
why...
You're killing something one day, the next day you're holding it up.
Opinions
That's just the
fly.
Nature of our business.
Opinions fly. Yeah. You and I have a million opinions that we've said all, and we've been wrong on. I mean,
a million. You like to hold me to each 999 of them. It's amazing.
Notoriously, you said the Titans were going 10-6 this year.
You fool, you keep changing the story. You keep lying.
And, but again, though, like, it would be you know what Jay Bill is doing this pup piece on the Tigers is? It's like me traveling to Nashville and doing a heartfelt Q&A with Marcus Mariota. Like, how freaking stupid would that be? That would be like, what in the hell is John Martin doing a heartfelt Q&A about Marcus Mariota's childhood?
Oh, you want somebody to take a stand like LeBron. When that thing comes to your check and they tell you get over there and get it done for you to get this check, I bet you do it.
But before I do that, I'm going to say, hey,
you ain't
going
to take no stand.
No, I'm going to say
you
Mariota's a great quarterback.
Yeah, you're going to go, hi, Marcus. Man, you had some trouble last week. That offensive line, they ain't giving you nothing.
Why do you think I always get nervous around people like that, man?
What are you talking about?
I always get nervous around Marcus Mariota. I would probably get more nervous around Ryan Tannehill. He is the starter after all.
That's the voice I pardon me, because you are. It's not, but it's the voice I think I hear when I see you in that picture with Austin.
Well, that was 5 years ago.
I realize it. I realize that's 5 years ago. Well,
my hair was brown. I mean, everything.
But again, I'm not saying that's necessarily you, John.
Yeah, I understand.
Apparently, the impression is pretty good.
Though. All I'm saying though is that listen. I love coverage from
you
Memphis.
You know you love you some Billis, and you would
I
be
do
over
not,
there
I do
interviewing
not.
Mariota if they said, you ain't getting that check.
First of all,
oh, you go
they
get
didn't
done.
Tell Jay Billis, you ain't getting that check if you don't go interview Penny.
I almost had you speechless when I said Mariota like you had me down in media day.
Look, all I'm
almost.
Saying, if you want, from an intellectual standpoint, just say you were wrong about the situation, and we're good. I mean, that's all.
Oh, that is a
you know that's yeah. all.
It'd be nice if we all operated that way.
But anyway, I hold people to a higher standard,
you're absolutely
then
right.
Then I suppose that's on me.
And it should apply. And we've all got to do it, right? That's like Kerr and Pop. We're all responsible.
It's not just LeBron. LeBron's the face, so he gets it more than others. But it's all. It's
not
the,
just Billis.
It's
me and
the
you
NBA.
Too.
Yes.
And every radio show.
But again,
show.
You ain't gonna catch me doing a piece, you know, on NFL Countdown talking about. The Tennessee Titans are a proud football
NFL
franchise.
Countdown, like, are you crazy? That is your big break. You are running over there and doing that feature. You are running over there. You gone from 9-2. I told you he was going to go national, Brad.
I'm just saying.
Don't act like you wouldn't
I'm going to say, listen, I've learned a lot about the Titans, and I was wrong about the way I felt. That's all. I'll preface it. There'd be a preface before I did it. Anyway, interesting stuff. I don't know when this piece is going to air, but I know we will be all watching
What's
together.
What's good is that we can examine ourselves.
That's right. That's right. And I haven't said anything like that about any player or person since year one.
Oh, dude, I think you've done a great job. And did you see the value in it?
Yes.
Like, I think there's true value in that.
Yes. Anyway, lots more to come here on the show. The Lions got absolutely screwed last night. That was hard
I feel
to watch.
Terrible for them in
That was hard to watch. We'll get into that and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, look at this.
Why are you on your phone? We have dinner reservations.
I'm getting a quote for life insurance from Ethos. Just look.
Wow. You know, I thought it would be more expensive.
A friend told me about Ethos. It's the new straightforward kind of term life insurance that offers policies for any budget. Let's do an estimate for you.
Do we have time?
You just answer 4 simple questions to get an instant quote.
These are easy questions.
And there's the instant quote.
Seriously? That was really fast.
I know, right? And the online application only takes about 10 minutes. No pushy agents. And in most cases, no medical exams. It's perfect for us.
Can we apply right now?
Why not? And after dinner, maybe we can celebrate.
You know what? Ethos is perfect for us.
Ethos is ethical term life insurance. Straightforward and super fast. Don't put it off. Go to ethoslife.com for a free instant quote now. ethoslife.com. That's ethoslife.com.
It's hot outside, but there is something that's hotter than the temperatures these days, and you guessed it. It's the deals at James Davis. This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. One of the best clothing stores in the United States. It's where I get my suits for television work with CBS Sports, but you need to understand, they have so much more than suits. They have 5 pocket pants in every fabric and fit, and good news, the brand new Stant Custom Fit fabrics for fall have arrived. I know you've heard me talk about these Stant Custom Fit dress shirts before, but it's worth repeating. You get 3 measurements, take it at James Davis, and 10 minutes later, you're going to have a custom fit shirt ordered. It'll be ready in just 9 days. They start at only $98. Trust me when I tell you, once you get Stant Custom Fit shirts, you'll never buy off the rack again. Paul Bettany suits are still 2 for only $7.95 at James Davis. So if you got a wedding party, don't rent tuxedos. That's a waste. Get suits for your groomsmen, suits that fit perfectly and can be used again. We have one of the best clothing stores in the country right here in Memphis. You'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. It's James Davis, Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Parents, do you want your child's shoes to fit perfectly? Then you need to get your kids Skechers Stretch Fit shoes, because Skechers Stretch Fit shoes easily slip on and fit almost like a sock. And not only do they fit like a dream, they perform like one too. Skechers Stretch Fit keeps your child's feet comfortable all day long with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Plus, you'll love just how durable they are. And if they get dirty, just pop them in the washing machine. Skechers Stretch Fit shoes. Find them at a Skechers store near you, Skechers.com, or wherever kids' shoes are sold.
Tonight on USA.
From the world of Jason Bourne.
What's Treadstone?
A Soviet control program designed to create human weapons.
Comes a new event series.
These people are still out there, asleep, and someone's waking them up.
You will be a great soldier for our cause.
Please don't make me do this.
Don't miss the premiere of Treadstone tonight at 10, 9 Central. Immediately following the season 2 premiere of The Purge at 9, 8 Central on USA.
Indeed. Used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed. Proud sponsor of Radio.com Sports.
How you doing, people? And if you're in the market for a new Chevy car, truck, or SUV, new or pre-owned, see my guys at All Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. They will treat you like a star. It's simple as ABC. A is the All Star Challenge to beat any written offer from any Mid-South dealer, or they buy you a tank of gas. B, better buying experience. They value your time and make it quick. C, customer care. They want you to be an All Star family member for this car or truck and all the other ones you'll ever need. And before you head to All Star and Olive Branch, check out the inventory at allstarautogroup.com. Silverados, Equinox, Traverse, Impala, Camaro. They have all you ever need with the best Chevy lineup ever. So don't go to Collierville, the Pike, or South Haven. Find new roads to Olive Branch and All Star Chevrolet. Minutes from anywhere in Memphis, or go to allstarautogroup.com. Just mention you heard about them on this station and you'll get a Malco movie gift card when you test drive any All Star Chevy you want.
Style on point? Check. Her favorite flowers on hand? Check. Perfect restaurant to start the night? Check, please. You're ready to make date night a great night at Interim Restaurant and Bar. Ooh, the art of flame and flavor from their world-class open kitchen. Hey, look at the who's who of Memphis surrounding you as you're seated. And when the cocktail arrives, welcome to the show. Interim Restaurant and Bar. Lunch or dinner, business, occasions, or just because. InterimRestaurant.com.
A heart in my Tasty Honey Nut Cheerios? Cereal, you trying to tell me you love me?
Actually, it's reminding you that it can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet.
Wait! They can help lower cholesterol? I've been so focused on the sweet, tasty taste that I completely forgot. Now I'm in love.
Learn more about making Honey Nut Cheerios part of your heart-healthy lifestyle by picking up a box at your local grocery store.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. Yeah. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Don't roll it, holy moly, no days off. Pirates cook it up like Kyrie, trade you off. Let's go. Green and white like Celtics, don't play.
So we are talking about, obviously, this piece that's going to air on ESPN, on their platforms, I'm assuming at some point. Memphis is going to have a lot of content coming out because they got the documentary. We'll see, I guess, what it is. LeBron's documentary company, so we'll see.
Oh, Lord.
If anything happens
probably
there.
Probably owned by China.
Well, good.
Might never see that thing.
China gets it first. China gets it. It opens in, it opens on ESPN Plus in China first before we get it. But anyway, no, seriously. Going to be a lot of content coming out for Memphis basketball because you got this Jay Billis puff piece that's coming out. Then you got the Nick DePaula piece that's coming out. Should be this week or next week, so we got to get him. I think he gets a tour of, you know, the Penny Room and all that, right? So lots of good stuff coming up for Memphis basketball, let alone, like, actual games happening. So that will be it's going to be a really fun time, really fun ride over the next few months.
I hope Billis liked the Penny Room.
Yeah, I hope he did too. Now, here's the deal.
Showing it to him.
We were talking about sort of the you know, the intellectual honesty here, because when Tubby Smith got fired at the University of Memphis, it's like LeBron, right? Jay Billis wasn't the only one, but he's one of the more prominent media members, right?
Absolutely.
We respect him, you know, as a college basketball media member.
Because we think he's smart.
You know, but it wasn't just him. It was Jay Billis. It was Fran Fischilla. It was Pat Forty. It was Pete Thamel. You know, all those guys came out and basically railed against Memphis for the move, right? How could you possibly go from a national championship coach to an unproven high school? You know, a lot of people were doing that.
Right.
Now, Jay Billis tweeted after it happened, Memphis should be embarrassed. This is pro sports, and no amount of NCAA rationalizing could obscure that fact. That was March 2018. Well, then he's on campus a couple weeks ago in October 2019. Now, he's been called to the carpet. And I give Memphians a lot of credit here for not forgetting this, because that's a level of pettiness that I can be proud of. But he was called out. And somebody tweeted Jay Billis with the screenshot of that tweet, and they said, "Don't be friendly now." And on October the 10th, he tweeted, "I'm not. Memphis should still be embarrassed by that. It was poorly handled and wrong." What? I mean, I can tell you a lot of things that Memphis is. Embarrassed? It ain't one of them.
Oh, we rolling now. He sees that.
Are you serious? Why should Memphis be embarrassed?
This is what I will give him because I know he's not just talking about this, but because we were just talking about it the other day as sort of maybe low points. Those couple of days where Tubby did get fired.
Right.
The actual process of doing it, calling him to the administration building, he leaves. That part did get ugly. Sort of like the Grizzlies marching out, mm-hmm. Chris Wallace. Let JB meet with the team. Logistically, that part was ugly. And if he's speaking to that,
yeah,
which, John, if you nailed him down, he might try to stick to that because that's all he's got.
Yep.
Basically. The idea that we should still be embarrassed right now,
yeah,
when clearly you see it was the right move. Look at what the town's feeling. Look at what you saw in there.
Yeah.
You saw some good coaches, it sounds like, from what you told Seth Greenberg. Then you can't do that.
Oh, because I
promise
you.
To the point that you're making.
This dude was in there.
You, I know where you're going.
Let's reenact the Jay Billis interaction with the Memphis coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, man?
Shooter in the building.
I remember watching you, man. How you look?
Man.
Great, man.
Oh,
everything been good?
You look like you could still do it, Mike.
That's...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.